Northeast, Fowler Court Avenue, Old Town, Florida, 32680, Commission District 1, Mr. Jerry Stevenson. We don't have any opposition.
Anybody here oppose it? Does anybody on the phone oppose it? Anybody else here heard anything?
No, sir.
Motion to approve.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson, to approve.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye.
That's it.
We're good.
Thanks, sir.
Petition by James Blake, located on the property described as follows.
Thank you.
Dixie County parcel number 19-12-2994-0000-7 South 230th Street, Old Town, Florida, 26800, to request a variance for the reduction of the south side setbacks from 10 feet to zero for the placement of the 16x36 boathouse by the petition dated 5/30/2023, which is located within section 4.3.7 GSA, subparagraph 1 of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations in accordance with section 12.3 variance procedures, Commission District 3, Mr. Mark Hatch, an applicant called this morning, said his survey did come back in time, so...
Any opposition?
No opposition.
Anyone here opposing? Anyone on the phone? Any of y'all heard anything? Motion to approve.
We've got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to approve. Second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
Motion to go back to the board.
We got Mr.
Second.
We've got a motion to go back to the board, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
We have resolution 2023-60.
Motion.
We've got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Resolution 2023-63.
Michael. Motion.
We've got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
And resolution 2023-64,
James Wade.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Let's go back to the vouchers.
All right. Yeah. Let's go back to the vouchers. Need approval of the vouchers.
Right.
We got a motion. Mr. Hatch, second Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
All right.
Miss K.
Thank you, it's not going to be typical of my normal tourism presentation. Even though tourism is an important part of our county's economics, as I've researched the licensing, I have talked to a lot of different people, and I've become very aware of the importance of protecting the area from some of the problems caused by what's called unchecked tourism. Even our local tourism business owners believe in this and want to protect Dixie County from unchecked tourism. And at this point, I'm going to ask Russ to elaborate a little bit on unchecked tourism.
There are all sorts of things you told me not to say up here, but everybody in this room has been someplace 5, 10 years ago and gone back to it, seen what it's developed into. And as we talk to a number of constituents out there in the world, a lot of people were tourists before we bought a place here. I know I was 23 years ago. I mean, there's a number of folks that are born and raised, got roots real deep. But that thing that brought us to this area, we wanted to maintain that. Because again, Panama City Beach, the Keys, heck, Steen Hatchie on the other side, look at how it's blown up. Yes, we need tourism. And this is weird coming from a tourism guy. We need to make sure that what we do with y'all, with the help of y'all's correction, Mr. Leon, and even some input from our tourism businesses, that we can help guide this ship down this little bit of channel to continue to keep Dixie County the pristine, wonderful place that we all want and love. It's a win-win situation for everybody at that point in time. Again, I'm a tourism guy. There we go. But again, we can't let it get out of control.
again, unchecked as it may be. And with, again, some of the ideas that you gentlemen are considering as far as licensing, it's going to help all of our homeowners down here with silly things as bad as parking in their rental places. So I can go on for a long time. Y'all need to bring me back. Let me click her two butt prettier.
So anyway, that's why we are, I talked to the board, even our business owners are in support of this licensing program. I have, as you've requested, looked into what we would need for it, so I would like to give that report to you real quickly. They will probably take a part-time position for someone to run this and would not be necessarily me because I already have the tourism job, and those two, the tourism funds cannot support, cannot cover the cost of this program and licensing. So before you do the best. So here's what I found out. For the overnight rental licensing, we have found a computerized program that will interface with our codes and enforcement department. We're ready to start working with a local company to identify and obtain information on area rental businesses that publicly advertise, with a plan to limit the cost to about less than 35% of the licensing income. That would be for the research. Originally, we found a company that was going to charge us $26,000, and we're talking more about $4,000 or $5,000, so big improvement. We plan to follow codes and enforcement's lead by sending out postcards to the rental businesses, informing them of the new requirement to obtain the license. This will include the county regulations, how to fill out the online property self-inspection, and the steps to complete the total process. Once completed, we will send them a copy of their license and other tourism information. We'll also be ready to follow up with those who do not respond and help property owners who have questions. My figures show that the income of the licensing program will outweigh the expenses, and the goal is to create more income in the future with it. This is based on an annual Dixie County licensing fee. We're suggesting $150 for the annual fee, which is less than what most rental places are for one night. So I don't think it's not balanced there. So with the board's confirmation, we can get ready to move forward with the $3,500 investment into the computer program, handle setting up office space, and start researching into the rental property. Schedule-wise, if this all goes, they'll approve it all. I'm hoping to mail out to be ready by mid-October and start the licensing program at the beginning of the 2024 calendar year. So that's what I found research-wise. I think we can do it and stay in the black with it and then hopefully bring in more money. But as we said in the beginning, you know, the main thing is to start monitoring our tourism, just not let it grow out of hand, not let everybody do whatever they want.
You done?
I'm done.
Couple questions. Leon, this is kind of directed to you. Is this basically the same program you use for
your RV renewal? It's the same operating platform, same company, but
you're right, I understand, but I'm familiar with yours, and right. It's basically the same platform as that.
Yes.
The other thing is, how are we going to set this up as calendar year, physical year?
I mean, how?
Calendar year.
Right, January 1.
Mm-hmm.
And January then you got X amount of days, 30, 45 days to renew the license, and if they don't renew, what's our hammer in the head?
I would think a penalty, a late penalty.
A good stiff one.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I know you're going to say yes.
That's the one thing that the PUC, they don't have any teeth.
Yeah.
They don't have any bullets in their gun. That's one of those things where we would have to, we're reaching out to not only you ladies and gentlemen, Twain gets stuck listening to me all the time. Mr. Leon's been very, very patient with, but how can
how can we move forward? Because let's be honest, Steve's already got his hands full.
Yeah.
The idea is...
Well, a lot of those rental stuff is regulated, supposed to be regulated by the Division of Hotels and Restaurants on that stuff. And one of the reasons that I've sat on with the TDC, one reason we bring that forward is to try to level the playing field. We got so many doing these rentals that are not in compliance with parking or, say, safety features and all the stuff that you're supposed to have in place to be able to have a rental like this. And if something long-term would happen down the road, the county would actually be liable because we're not regulating it and making them have the stuff that they're supposed to have. So it's kind of something that we need to do on the liability side, and the teeth to it should fall back on the Division of Hotels and Restaurants.
Right.
Not all of it.
Not all of it. But it is at least one set of factors that we can use to
report
by putting it back on the state to help regulate this. So,
what you're asking, Mark, this program, from what we understand, when Leanne and I were listening to them do a presentation, is it will interface with his program.
Mm-hmm.
So we were, what our thoughts were, is to have them do a self-inspection. They are saying, yes, we have smoke detectors, yes, we have this, that, and the other. We understand the rules, and then if there's a problem or a complaint, we have on record they have
that. We got a question back.
Once we go to taking responsibility for all of this, I'm not saying we shouldn't, but we are also taking on additional liabilities and everything else. Because when we go to regulating it, it's like anything else. When they're in non-compliance, we're the regulating authority.
Right.
So, and I'm not knocking the 150, but I'm thinking that's way too low. Okay? Like she said, that's less than one night rental. If I'm running a business, I'm making money on Airbnb. Hotels charge you 150, and they run in 100 rooms. Mm-hmm. We can't afford to charge $150 and enforce it. It's very similar to our CAN program we had.
Yes.
You know, the CAN program may have been an excellent program, but we didn't have enough funds to run it and manage it. If we're going to do it, we've got to account for the fact that we're going to be accepting liability. We're fixing to dump another boatload of trouble on Steve because he's going to be the one having to go out and inspect and enforce all the issues, because on my road this weekend, and I'm not complaining, but it was dodging traffic because of people parking. I live on a street that is close to water. So, needless to say, you have that issue. I deal with it. No big deal. I just dodge traffic and go on. But if this is every day, I'm not going to be quite as congenial as a neighbor and people backing out and me having to get the brakes to keep from being run over by them, you know, this kind of stuff. But as an agency, once we go to regulating it, we are going to be looking at some liability issues. Steve's going to be looking at trying to enforce these things. Tourism's going to have to manage it. $150 per ain't going to get it. And just that would be my recommendation to the board, is if you do consider it, I'm not nixing, because we do need to get something going on here. But we definitely, you know, which one of us has a license that we can operate under for $150 a year? I don't think there's a member on the board any license we have is that price.
I understand that completely, but we're at the point, the county side is, we either going to have to regulate it or deny even existing it. And if we deny it to happen, then we're going to have to regulate it also. We're going to cost us money. So
yes,
we've got to come up with a contingency plan to deal with it, because it's not going to go away, and we're going to have to fix it one way or the other. Hey, the gentleman back has his hand raised. Maybe he's got something to bring light to all our eyes.
Well, first things first.
State your name.
John Gary. And hats off to you. Fantastic fireworks display. My comment was, I'm assuming most of everybody here is very pro-revenue to the county. And so that's a good thing. The question, I think, that emailed, it's the transfer of liability issues. And it's an interesting time to get into the property rights side, especially if anybody's been reading or well-versed on what's called Agenda 2030 stuff. That's that is going to be something that you're going to be up against. But the question that I had with two is that $3,500 a one-time ULA agreement, or is that an annualized?
Annualized.
Sure,
that's for tracking. That's for tracking what the business is the platform.
So it will show up if he's got a certain piece of property. They have a license. It'll show up on his. Yeah, let him answer a question.
Which is a good thing, but it's important. And I'm sure Leon, probably everybody here, does that interface database go outside of the county. In other words, does somebody, anybody else have access or control of that? Or does fortunately Leon and you guys get to maintain that? I'm only asking for the sake of interface can be a loose term, but if they're integrating into the existing API, it's fantastic. Because sometimes interfacing means many people have access to all that data for many different reasons.
Okay.
I think it was just
a. I think it's the only ones that have access to the building department, so
right.
Be able to access that.
But I will be, you know, if it's all approved, then I'll the group will do an educational thing, and I will definitely make sure of that.
Mr. Chairman, I've got a couple questions as well. Kay and I have discussed this, talked about it, you know, listening to some of their TDC conversations. I do have a question. We was going to look into it being funded, the part-time employee you talked about being funded by TDC monies, but I thought I heard you say you found out by statutorily it cannot.
It cannot.
So then that would raise the question for the future.
We share an office. For instance, we're looking at office space right now,
working on that.
Which was the training facility for EMS before they got there.
Yes.
So the county owns the building. That office space could be shared with the tourism development, the licensing, and even economic development. I mean, there'd be room for three possibilities in there.
Yeah.
For that part, the tourism, the TDC funds can help with that. But as far as the person, it cannot pay for a...
And what did you say as far as you're just thinking? I mean, I know we haven't done it, so it's all a new venture. So the board would have to encumber a part-time employee for what are we thinking, you know, hours... this to take. I know it's a pilot program.
I would say
we just have to budget something in probably general fund or put it under. I don't know how to address that.
I would think 20 to 25 hours.
Okay.
For the pay period, that's 2 weeks.
Okay.
At the most, and it'll take more at the beginning because that's when you're really trying to put your whole.
Understood.
About 12, 15 hours a week.
How much is the percentage of the money that on the TDC that goes back to the county?
Half of it.
50% of those funds that goes back to the county, that those funds can be used to...
Only those funds can only be used for improvements of our parks, our different facilities, and such like that. It cannot be used for administrative like this.
Mr. Chairman, to answer that question in more depth, the way I understand it as far as budgeting, with our TDC, it still has to be governed by the statutes. What it is after the full TDC budget is met, the way it's been known and understood by ordinances is that out of that 3% that we get on the bed tax, the 3 cent, then the board, after it's paid out, the TDC goes to, I forget the exact line, but y'all's money is put in the improvements other than buildings, like she said, to any of the parks, any kind of thing, but it all has to be tied back to tourism. So she's saying that we can't use that money for an employee. The board then would have to create, in either under general fund or under one of our other departments, a line item for this person and an office supplies and operating expenses and the $3,500.
But how can I say this? What are we spending now? What are we spending now to, for the repairs and budgeting now for the repairs and blah, blah, blah? So if we go there and we take TDC money and actually use it for some of the stuff that we're talking about, that normally comes out of general fund, all you're doing is reallocating your funding system to the...
Yeah, so you're budgeting under Parks and Recs. I'm budgeting repair and maintenance on all the different county-owned properties, such as Zendalf Park.
Yeah.
But fortunately, TDC jumped on board. I'm just using this as an example. We did use some of the board monies for the pickleball.
Yep.
We used it out of TDC because it's a tourist attraction
right in
the town of Suwannee, and it because it's a park and rec available to everyone, it was a liable expense.
Right, but if we wouldn't, if they wouldn't have jumped on board, who would have
had to pay? Would have been out of your repair and maintenance out of your Glendale Park.
Okay, that's exactly where I'm going. So actually, the cost of the employee, you're actually using their money to what they can actually use it for now, and you still got that same money budgeted for the employee. Correct.
Okay.
Not. Why? Who said no?
Yeah.
Exactly. Why? Why?
Because it doesn't exist now.
Yes, it does. We're going to spend it irregardless.
Spend on repairs.
What he's saying is TDC is bringing in X amount of dollars that has to be used in parks and recreation.
Right.
We're using that money. If we didn't have them bringing in that money, then the county would have to come out of pocket for money.
That we've done for
parks and stuff.
We're paying for repairs and stuff right now.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes.
Regular repair and maintenance.
You can't just. Yeah.
Heads and beds is a kicker.
You're missing what I'm saying, though.
Okay.
The heads and the beds, it generates X amount of money, right?
Yes.
Okay. We got X amount of stuff that improvements that we want to use, correct? Glendale Park, we're doing pickleball courts. Y'all put money towards pickleball courts. Now, if we wouldn't have went to y'all and asked y'all, how many projects have you actually, David has done a bunch of work down there at D-Track. How much money have y'all put toward D-Track?
Right now we haven't put any except for the pickleball.
That's my point right there. But how much money have we put toward D-Track that come out of general fund?
And that come out of the parent meters
a lot. Yeah, so if you actually use the heads and beds money for what it's intended for, and then take the same money that you're already paying there and put it towards the employees. What's the difference? Besides, you actually got somebody doing the job now.
We can't predict the stuff like the repairs. Some of the repairs at these parks, you can't predict.
You can't never do that, but still, you've got money that we're allocating there already.
So I understand that.
Use this money here to do your repairs.
It has to be for projects.
We got projects.
Yeah, projects. And it has to be
all Mark's trying to say is, in a nutshell, y'all generate X amount of dollars per year
to the county to be used in parks and recreation.
Look at that number, see how much money that is. We're going to use that, then maybe the county can come up with that much out of general fund to cover for an employee.
Yeah.
Well, at the same time, this program should pay for the employee through the...
Well, that was my next question. That's where I was going next. Because you got 100% here, then you're spending 35% on the programming stuff. So that still leaves you with 65%. Right? Where's that money?
That should pay for the employee.
There you go.
That should all pay for the employee. I'm just saying we have to find an employee.
We got a
anybody
question.
Want a job?
We got a question right here on the front row.
Mr. Chairman. I'm just wondering, maybe a budget transfer with your finance people and your county manager might work out the D-Track, right? Money could be put into the employee, the general fund, and then so you can work out that. You know, if you think your life is prepared on work 150 without like your current 40s, that'll work. But you can come up with your own numbers, you probably got.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so there's that. So it's really just money that's part of that.
Exactly.
And,
right.
Yes, Mark.
But first, there's two. You've got to think about people. You need to think of who's going to work for this county for that amount for part-time, no benefits, blah, blah, blah. I know some people need. So that's your question. So, yeah.
We're
doing it for free already.
Yeah. There'll be somebody just tired of sitting
down. And, you know, eventually, there may be, I'm speaking totally out of my position here, eventually there may be a full-time position that would include tourism development, you know, half the money, their pay coming from TDC, half coming from licensing and making a full-time position. I don't know. That's
My question is this. Let's go back to this. What do you need out of us today?
You need a motion to go forward?
Let her tell me what she needs.
Yes, I need a motion to go forward with investing in the building and the computer program and investing in paying someone to start working it.
Where's the building at?
It is down the street from McDonald's.
At the three-way stop.
It's the county owned
government. But it needs improvements.
Yeah. Old voting precinct.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Okay, so you need a motion to get this ball rolling. So I'm going to make a motion, and I'm going to do two different
motions
for y'all to proceed.
We got a second. We got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Got a second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor.
Now I'm gonna make a motion on this 150,
because I think it deserves its own motion. But I'm gonna change that. Huh?
Question about discussion. Do we have a dollar value? We don't know what it's gonna cost.
Whatever it is, we gotta do it.
So.
That would be my suggestion. If we're talking about retaining the program, we're talking about moving forward improvements on the building and employees and, you know, the cost. I think maybe we should address those as separate issues so that it's very clear what we're approving rather than just proceed. Carte blanche.
I think Mark's doing that. He's breaking his motion down.
But I mean, when she asked about the money, I think Miss Jackie's going over here panicked because she's going over.
Of course she is.
$3,000 or $35,000.
Let me finish before.
Yes, sir.
Before we go too far in this. This is going to be really good, Miss Jackie. It's actually going to help me.
I'm going to make a motion for our license fee to be $200.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch. For the fees go $200. Second, Mr. Stevenson. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Also, I'm going to make a motion on the building itself. I want an itemized thing brought back to the board of what it costs to fix the building and get the building back up to code.
Per air conditioner, per paint, per blah, blah, blah. What the TDC can, or if they can put any money towards that, let us know that also. But give us a bottom line cost of the building. And that's a motion.
We got a motion, Mr.
Let me clarify it. We'll make sure I'm right.
Okay.
We're going to look into the TDC, how much money TDC could put towards repairs.
Yeah. If
to
any.
To add to that. Okay.
If any. And that gives us a cost of what the building is going to be brought up to for them to operate out.
It's just a hollow shell.
Yeah, I know what it is. It's $10,000 to fix it. Fine. No problem. Yeah. $10,000 to take care of that, too, with a
wall unit. Because most of it we're going to paint. Clean up with inmate labor. Paint's pretty cheap. A few 7-pan wall-mounted AC that we just approved right out here. Same thing. What was that, $6,500?
Somewhere around there,
yeah.
Sir. It's a split unit.
That leaves us $3,500 for paint. We should be fine.
So
I think it's going to be about a $10,000 budget.
Does everybody understand?
We've got miracle people in the building department.
So
our building department. So that's my motion.
We got a motion. Does everybody understand that? We got a second, Mr. Stevenson. Any discussion?
Please, somebody question that.
Go ahead. You may have already answered this. The annualized, is that self-funding? Is it coming out of, you may have already answered that.
Yes.
The other question is, I have to come back to you.
But it sounds like it's being self-funded.
Ideally, yes.
Yes.
Miss
Jackie?
Okay, so we're talking on the half-part time position effective when we start collecting in January. See, we won't be collecting any revenue until January, February, March.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it needs, are we doing this as of October 1?
That was another.
I'd have to budget it for this fiscal year. I mean, yeah, I'd have to budget it.
They did answer that question a while ago, January 1 through blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Planning to hopefully have mail outs ready mid-October to send to all the people we found. And then January 1 would be when the income would start coming in.
So we need to budget for a position as of October 1, or now, or, I mean, I'm asking.
My question is, I'm getting lost upon this budget stuff. You were talking earlier that those funds that goes to the county can only be used for certain things. Well, it sounds like to me y'all have already got those monies budgeted out already
TDC
on doing certain things. If we got to wait until the next fiscal budget year, because if you don't, then that money's sitting there and it should be readily available. If they've got X amount of dollars and it only can be used for certain things in parks and recreations, and you got to wait until the next budget year, that means y'all have already used up all that money for this fiscal year.
No, sir. The position has to be funded out of general.
That's correct.
So we have to have...
Well, we were talking... I'm not going to get back into a discussion, but we're talking about shifting money, so to speak, using the general to take care of things that the TDC money to offset.
It's not...
On the parks, the county's paying this, and they paying that, but I mean, they...
It's a different critter, because you're adding a new position to handle the licensing, and the position theoretically would have to kick in before the actual.
All you want to do is have that 3-month buffer, basically.
Yes, exactly.
That's
but
it.
It comes out of general fund.
Yeah.
It'll be funded out of general, basically.
So
it'll be subsidized by the
$200
of license.
Yeah. So your question's easy. We just need a 3-month buffer before we start.
Yes, sir. But the TDC money, because of the way that it's the statute, it has to be for heads and beds. This licensing does not put a head in a bed.
Right.
It does.
Well, I guess what the question I'd ask is that the monies are spent on special items, but evidently we're spending every bit of that money every year.
We're not.
All right. Well, where is the leftover funds going?
It's earmarked. The TDC money is a separate
account.
It's a separate cash carry forward amount each year of the balance that's out there. And part of it is TDC, all of it's TDC money, but then they earmark part of it, the board has, to say that they're using it for improvements to the park that would entice more people to come here for tourism-wise. Is that saying that correctly?
Yes.
Regular repairs shouldn't necessarily be out of your improvement money, just your everyday electricity or the light bulbs or stuff like that. It's the improvements that would bring more people in to the area.
The question I was getting at was all the stuff that is done at the D-track, a lot of that stuff is major stuff that's going on that we spent money out of general fund, that actually it could have been pulled out of that fund.
Some of it probably could have.
Some of it can't.
I'm hot. I'm good. Let's move on. We're good. All right. We got one more question.
Is there any way, Mr. Hatch, that we can increase that a little bit more? I know that the coastal communities know that the homes are going for $300 a night. VRBO.
So instead of 200.
Well, see, here's where I was at. This started at $50. My recommendation was to go to $100. In our meeting that we had at Dwayne's office, we moved it to $150. So I just moved it to $200. So if we're going to change it, now's the time to do it.
You got
to realize this too. Now, all these houses are paying property taxes. All these houses are paying the special assessment, to cover the other costs also. So. Where do we say, you know what, they just, at 150, they was at 35% of the 100%, so that number's going to drop back probably to 30% at least. So we still got 70% to operate. Where do we say, okay, quit being greedy?
There's going to be a lot more into it, just making sure that most of them are not. So that was
I understand what you're saying there, because I think y'all both was, or Michelle was in on some of that, and I think you got that straightened out now, right?
On my end. I don't know about all the rest
right.
of them. You know,
I think that is a very good starting point. We can always move forward from there, but we got to get this thing started and get it rolling.
How many businesses do you project to get this this fee from? That determines if it can afford itself.
It goes to anything it does rentals.
Okay, is there 100 in the county? Is there 20?
Those are the ones I've been able to.
So 200 times 200.
150 to
200
that I've been able to identify.
I'm sure there's more.
Your client has made more than that. How many she found when she went online?
Yeah, it's quite a few. That's what I'm saying. If you're saying 100 businesses, that 200.
He's got 4 Airbnbs and he just quit his full time job and that's all he does now. He makes more now than he makes.
And I'm happy for it.
$200 is kind of cheap, though.
Where do you think it should be? I think it's a good start.
$300 for a special exception on a camper, and you're not generating any business money off of that. So if you're making a business out of it, you buy a license.
Well, see, my opinion is this. They're paying that same assessment.
Right.
You know, the licensing side of it, they're paying that same assessment. And that's why I said, and the property tax, they also pay that also. So where do you say, okay?
So it needs to be $300.
Now, what I'm looking at is if you got 100 businesses, at $200, you've generated $20,000. Okay? That's what you, and you've got an employee and
a program for $3,500.
Program that is yearly at the very minimum of $3,500. So there's $23,000 if you can get an employee for $20,000. Well, if we're doing part-time, it wouldn't have to be. Okay, well, you do, that's true.
Insurance.
I'm sorry.
We just don't have to provide insurance.
Yeah.
We got one more question right here.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Hatch made a motion.
Now, we get, I know what you're saying. We ain't finished with the vote yet. We're still in discussion.
No, you voted on the $200
fee already. Yeah, I know. We can change that, though.
The cost of the building.
Yeah.
In my research, I did find out that places like Panama City Beach, places that have high tourism, that their licenses are $500. But that means that place is going to be full every night, you know, so we're not at that position, I don't think.
We was on the itemized. My motion was for the itemized.
Okay.
So
we got a motion and a second on the itemized. We just had a long discussion on that. So all in favor on the itemized? Now, Mr. Marsh.
Discuss any more on the $200? Let's discuss it.
Now,
I think it's a good start. For my opinion,
we can
always go up.
There you go.
Just start on the $200.
We can always come back and jack it up later if we see that we need to.
I don't like the word jack it up. I like to raise it.
Well, raise it.
Increase.
I like
the word is that we're not making money. We're just going to make expenses to pay for it.
We're going to up it to what it's going to cost the county to do programs.
Is the $200 going to be per
year?
Per unit.
Per business,
how
I understood it.
See, if you're the fellow you're talking about, he's got, how many has he got? Four?
But see, it's still
paying for four different license fees if he's got four.
That's the way it
should be. Per unit. You need to have a license per unit.
All right, let's clear that up. I'll make a motion, $200 per unit.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch,
second.
For $200. Per unit, per year, second Mr. Stevenson, any discussion? Got
a unit, a house,
or
a bed.
A bed.
I'm referring to separate residents on these Airbnbs. I'm not talking about like an RV park or something where they got all that. I mean, that I'm talking about separate residents. He's got
a house.
Yes, ma'am.
So he's got four bedrooms that he rents.
You can't charge them. They're not going to be able to charge per bedroom.
Just for the house.
Per house.
Per location.
Per location.
All in favor.
Wait a minute. Go ahead.
This, we might want to clarify that this is overnight rental businesses is businesses that are for their lease for less than 6 months lease, because that's the way the whole tourism business works. I don't know if that's important to have that in there, but it's for rental for less than 6 months lease.
I think you need it in there.
Well, we got a motion, a second. All in favor.
Thank you. Who's seconding that?
Mr. Stevenson.
Okay.
Any more?
No, I think I'm good.
You good?
You good.
So very quickly, the tourism business is going great right now. The golf season has started and is in full swing. Every coastal community had a wonderful Independence Day celebration, and thank you to the Sheriff's Department for enforcing the kids, not letting the kids drive the golf carts all over the place. So that concludes my presentation.
Thank you very much. The Meridian.
Yep.
They want the cost of the building, but I'm going to give them to present the cost of what.
Yeah, they're supposed to get back with the cost of repairs and all that.
So we just don't leave the employee until then?
Yes.
Okay. Right. Yes. Just want to make sure we didn't leave something that needs to be addressed.
Good.
Thank you, Commissioner. Carry on, sir. I'm a Vice President of Clinical Community Services at Meridian Healthcare. I'm here to present the annual report on our services in the county. Meridian Healthcare provides a continuum of services in both scope of adult and children's services related to mental health and substance abuse treatment. We just celebrated our 50th year anniversary. Last year, as an accredited agency in those efforts. We continue to expand our services mainly based on the needs that the communities are presenting. You guys read the news, I'm sure everyone's been touching some patients, family members, community members due to mental health and substance abuse crisis. What we refer to as a continuum of service, we provide a full continuum that starts with prevention, outreach and prevention. For instance, we have a staff at Ruth Lane Middle School, and she's also a part of Camp Henderson, and that's really to help youth with their choices, help them with their communication skills, frustration tolerance, conflict resolution, and then, of course, making positive choices and being a positive peer in the community. That starts to escalate from the prevention. Usually when we're doing prevention, we may identify some youth that seem to be having a little more trouble than others. That will be where we start a discussion with the parents to see about the appropriateness of giving them possibly therapy and some extra support with their behaviors and emotions. We also have residential services for more clients. Now, they are not here in Dixie County, but they're absolutely available to Dixie County residents. We have the MISS program, which is moms that are struggling with substance abuse and mental health issues that are pregnant or have just given birth. So we not only help them with their recovery for substance abuse, but also with their parenting, so they can be a nurturing parent for that youth. And of course, and then return to their community. Many are involved with child welfare, and the whole goal is to keep that family intact, that family system intact. And that program is a longer program from 6 to 9 months. We have our Sid Martin Bridge House, also in Gainesville. In fact, we are working closely with the Community Coalition Alliance that works with Dixie County Anti-Drug Coalition, where they were able to secure funds where there was absolutely no wait list for any Dixie County residents waiting for services to get into, waiting for a bed to get into that more intense treatment. And we also have our outpatient therapy where that is done in office or on telehealth. I would like to comment a little bit on our telehealth services. They have expanded again this year. We were set up for telehealth services for psychiatric and therapeutic services before COVID hit. It ramped up rapidly. We were able to meet that demand, and now people have a preference whether they like to be in person or telehealth. And that could be most of that is adult, but we also offer that for youth as well. The research is very strong. That is vetted out. It can be just as effective as long as the person on receiving end are too comfortable with it. And many prefer, some prefer a hybrid, but it also prefers the comfort of their own home, or some like coming into the office and have that safe space. So we offer those that fit there as well. A lot of parents, we know they're juggling their schedules, they have transportation, cost of gas, time if they have more than one child or they have work commitments. Also another better factor of being able to have the telehealth services that are done through the connection with the internet, and it's a safe connection. We also have tablets for and plans, data plans for families that cannot afford, so we offer that as well. And that's mentioned in this program. Any questions so
far? I do. I got one for you. Before COVID hit, how was it? Was, do you have a percentage number on what y'all were doing beforehand when everything was kind of face-to-face? Do you have that number then during your COVID numbers? And since COVID's kind of, I mean, it's going to have spikes here there and yonder, but is people still, are you seeing a growing number there or a sustainable number there where it's just easier to get on the phone and do it?
It started out around 5% pre-COVID, even though we were promoting it because we knew the benefits of it and it was emerging. Once COVID hit, there was a rapid escalation up to about 60%. We did keep our offices open, you know, following all the protocols. And now it's about half now as far as where it's leveled. So again, on those preferences, but we were at 5%. It escalated way up there when there really wasn't a choice where people chose not to, you know, socialize because of the COVID issue. And now it's come down just a little bit to the last stabilized.
So you're stabilizing around 30% basically?
Actually more than that. We're around 50% telehealth and versus in-person.
And that's how's that on y'all's end? Do you feel like you're giving adequate?
Well, I think it works well for us. One of the things that it really works for is there's a national shortage of psychiatrists. So a lot of them, so before we have telehealth, they would be driving, you know, to these areas because we would not be able to hire enough psychiatrists. So this allows them, instead of them being in a car traveling, they're able to see more persons, so we're able to meet the needs. So that's one benefit, and then some of the other ones that I mentioned prior. You know, some people just prefer it. Sometimes in smaller communities, due to stigma, they may not want to be seen coming to Meridian. And this way, they can access that care with there, and they can keep that privacy component as well.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. So moving on just a little bit, when you look at our overall demographics, we have, you can see right there, we have that broken down by race and then also by age. The majority of whom we serve start around the age of 12, which is actually right around that sixth grade level is where things start to emerge. A lot, half of the anxiety disorders start at that age, and the whole goal is to get in there early because the longer you go, just like a medical condition, the longer that you go untreated, for some of more that preventative type of care or early stages, the more it can turn into a lifelong illness. So we're real big about getting out there, identifying that, working alongside with the school, and then you see the age groups. It starts to taper off around 65, but we do start with the younger ages. I talked about the mother program, but also at that early age as well, you know, some kids are just real high wire from the beginning. It's helping the parents manage that, put them in the right direction, so they can cope with it. After the child does not start to get teen issues, because they're sticking out. So, you know, what we do, does it work? That's a very common question, and to what percentage? So we do track that. The state requires that we track it. It's just a good thing to do. We have improved functioning, not only improved function, reduction in symptoms, but improved functioning as well. And 75% of our adults and the same for the children right in that area. Just for national benchmark, when a question comes up, if somebody has a substance abuse issue, like what's the percentage that they'll get better? It's kind of a hard question to answer because really when someone's in recovery, they may relapse as long as they can stay on the track. But you're basically looking around 50% recovery in the long run. Well, of course, people with serious substance abuse issues, and the same is true for mental health. And we'll just throw in there, we like, not for a direct comparison, but just as you look at medical conditions for some of the more serious medical conditions, it's around that same range. You know, because a lot of people with stigma or just not understanding it, you know, maybe somebody went to therapy, but nobody was doing good at that time, but the percentages do play out. Pretty positive for the people seeking treatment. And then there on the right side of that page, we have our satisfaction survey, which we're very proud of. We're certainly not perfect. We're a large organization. We're always working on training, in-service training, sending people for training to specialists, and working, going to other training localized in the community. So I talked about telehealth. Just take a minute real quick. As far as the adult services to Dixie County, the acute care, that's what we would hear the term Baker Act, or somebody's been admitted involuntarily. We had 39 in the past year, fiscal year, which started in July last year. So that was actually down from last year. Counseling services and psychiatric care, you see the numbers there, 363 and 215 respectively. And we also work with the courts on people with severe, significant mental health issues that they're not able to stand trial due to the severity of their mental health, so we educate them so they can understand the due process, and that way the judge is able to make decisions about moving forward with the appropriateness of the charges or putting them on conditional release. So we track those as well, following part of statute. Psychiatric care, and also with our chief one office and more proximity here, that's also increased to 90 clients where we have the medication-assisted treatment, that could be the methadone, Vivitrol, or buprenorphine, which helps people reduce their cravings, because the cravings are so strong to reuse. When you're talking about opioids, that prevents the craving, along with the counseling, to move forward into it. And children, the one thing that stood out to us when we collected the data, we have had a doubling in to 22 of children that have been impacted last year, so we're really looking at that. As far as is that possible, what those factors are contributing to that, because we do have the mobile response team. Further looking at that, we don't have any real solutions right now, but we're definitely going to be looking further to work with youth in the area, getting the word out through our outreach efforts. Let's see, our counseling, we have what we refer to as our CAT teams. We do cover Dixie County, have community action teams, where we work with the family to keep the family systems working stronger. And one is so not only for the benefit of that family and the youth, but also one of the big goals is to keep them from entering the child welfare system, to keep the family intact. So that we're also serving that in Dixie County. And just like our residential services are available for Dixie County residents, we also have a youth recovery center in Columbia County, which serves youth that are having significant substance abuse issues. And that can be up to a six-month program, and they get their education there as well. So as far as, like, who pays for this, what is the breakdown? We accept a wide range of payers. We do receive local and public funds that we use as a payer of last resort. We take almost all the insurances. The problem is somebody may not have insurance, or the insurance does not actually cover the services under their plan. So we do use the FOSS Act to either Medicaid. And we have the numbers broken down. About half, 54% are paid through Medicaid. 32%, we do use funds that come through the state and the county match to help serve those staff. Of the people that we serve in Dixie County, 96% were at or below the federal poverty guidelines. So that's kind of where we are as far as where the money goes, what the breakdown is. and in order to utilize the type of services we provide. So on the last page is our act. We are required due to Florida statute to seek a local match from the county. Our overall budget is almost $2 million of what we are expected to pull down. Last year, the county paid around $55,000. We're asking for a 2.1% increase of around $1,000 to $1,200 to account for the increased demand and also the cost of delivering services. As you know, things are going. So that's where we are right now, commissioners. And thank you for your time. I'm open for any questions or comments.
Do we need a motion to increase that, or what we need to do?
Yeah, y'all can accept that, and we'll get it in the budget.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. Any discussion?
How many people y'all got out there? Not pretty in place.
We have one full-time therapist that's there Monday through Friday in the office, and then we also have another therapist that comes there approximately 3 days a week.
So basically, you got one person.
One full-time. Licensed clinician, which is a higher level clinician. We're open for any suggestions. It's very challenging due to the overall workforce shortage. We were glad to add up there. It's just a matter of finding. So we have open positions to hire.
And so, yeah, so I remember a while back, probably way before COVID and all, how many, y'all was up to about 5 or 6 employees out there?
That's the highest we've had higher up there, and sometimes they are people that are coming from Gilchrist, so we try to really share the wealth when we have that. And I've covered it there, I've managed that here, done many visits in this area for the last 20 years. And we have had it up to that number, and that's where we'd like to be, but we really are stretched thin. Overall speaking, due to the workforce shortage.
Where do y'all advertise that?
We do all the Indeed, the internet ones, the Indeed, and then we also look for local newspapers and then a lot of traditional marketing, and we have billboards up now that are, you know, talking about hiring and but I've got my card over here, Ms. Ryan, so if any guys, any ideas you have, we'll be glad to advertise. We haven't given special allocated funds for advertising and marketing from the state because they realize there's a workforce shortage, especially with benefits.
Do you do anything with nutritional correlation between nutrition and depression?
Yeah, but that is covered when they go in for their psychiatric care. So where we do that mainly with the families, with when I mentioned the CAT team, the community action team, they actually have a dedicated nurse on that interdisciplinary team. So they have a psychiatrist, a nurse, an RN or LN. That's one of the things that they cover, like eating healthy on a budget. We have children with juvenile diabetes that don't want to take their medication. So those are some of the challenges we have to go over the holistic care.
So and spiritual? In terms of connecting into faith or any type of body of believers?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, we were just involved in Southwest Columbia and we were with Southwest Palatka where they have, I can't think of the gentleman's name, but he's a pastor out of Atlanta where he did a lot of trauma-informed churches. So we were involved with that. Sponsors, we have the outreach there. Our outreach table serves the churches every week. In fact, we just hired an outreach person. When he transferred, he's a former pastor. He's got all kinds of connections in the northern counties. And also our outreach person here. Any kind of events that we have, we like to be there. Any kind of church event. The thing about the spiritual and the church is so critical because now because of our funding, et cetera, what we do is let them know the benefits. Have they been to their church? Do they have an identified church? What are your churches in your area? Because we know that's a critical component for the overall support of the family, the spiritual, the nutrition, as well as the actual getting into the therapy and support.
Any more discussion? We've got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anti-drug.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you so much, and we are happy to be a partner with Meridian. They've helped us in many situations with crisis. And we're happy today to be able to let you know that in our community we will be bringing, in cooperation with our Community Coalition Alliance, a mental health first aid, adult mental health first aid. We have a prevention specialist that will be coming in to do this training. It's a course that's designed to help regular people in being able to recognize, respond to mental, emotional, and behavioral issues of maybe a friend, a loved one, or even a stranger. So it's a great little course. We have an opportunity for 25 people. So I do have flyers available. If you think you're interested, you can just register through the QR, and we'll be happy to be able to get you set up for that. So, and just one more quick note, Katrina and I will be going to Washington, D.C. next week. And our purpose is for what's called a reverse site visit. It's for the funding, our grant that I am funded under, and Meridian and some of the other funding partners, our sheriff's office, will be ending the end of August. And our meeting is to go and to let them know what all we've done in DeKalb County and hopefully look for funding and possibilities to be able to continue what we've done with our opioid program. So. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr.
Steve. Good morning, Board.
Good morning.
All right. We have gone up by three. We have 953 customers now. We have a real busy 4th of July weekend.
Oh, I know.
My poor guy, he did 12 grinder pumps this weekend, and we have cleaned the lift station twice a day, so we were real busy. We also had this weekend the aerator pump and the sewer treatment plant go down. Thank God it was only a relay and a fuse, so we got that back up and running. Also, the Springfield lift pump went down. We fixed that also, and it was a breaker. We had our financial audit last meeting. It was completed and sent to the state, probably the first time in years on time. This audit was BS before Steve, and it's an open table. But the auditor did comment that what we have done since I've taken over, that we are way far better than we have been sitting in forever,
a long time.
Last thing I have, we have requested bids from local fuel companies for gas and diesel. Currently, we are paying $3 a gallon too much on diesel and $2 for gas because we are in a outlying area. We're buying it local. So we're trying to get a 500-gallon tank just for gas, and then we already have diesel tanks there. That's it. Any questions?
I got a couple of comments. Really not no questions, but I attended that meeting with our auditor, and I will say that what he just said was very, very factual, and I'm very proud of y'all and y'all's hard work and your board's hard work to get this audit done on time. And it was a...
Yeah, last year it wasn't started until November when
yeah.
we were
doing it. So anyway, thank y'all for y'all's hard work, and honestly, with all the problems that you said you had, as a commissioner of the district, I didn't know nary one of them, so that's a good thing. So thank y'all for what y'all done.
Meeting every year,
then. Yeah. No, I'm talking about the grinder pumps and spray fields and unstopping the stuff. I mean, y'all done an excellent job.
I don't want any problems. I mean, I was out there working myself with the guys.
Yeah.
So.
So when I don't hear nothing, and you come here and tell me you had all them issues, that's pretty damn good. And good staff and good management. But thank y'all for what y'all doing.
Thank you.
I got a question.
On the sewage side of that, on the plant, what percentage are y'all up to on what its capacity is?
oh, we're not even at capacity. Because that plant is overbuilt. When it was originally built, it was to do Horseshoe, Swanee, and part of Old Town.
Correct. The other question is, have y'all looked at maybe taking waste from contractors, pumpers, or stuff? Similar like we are, it's getting harder and harder. DEP's regulating these land spread sites. I know that the pumpers like us, our strength is high strength. Maybe adding another tank out there so y'all can pre-mix and pre-dilute. Being y'all so much under capacity, there's going to be a need, rather than having to haul this stuff all the way to Georgia somewhere, for our counties like Dixie County. Because right now, on my end, like pump outs is $250, $300, and we're just not breaking even with the DEP rigs. When they close me down and we have to start going to Georgia, we're going to be looking at $1,000 a pump out or so. So in my aspect, I would like for y'all to start looking at something. Maybe y'all could, we could set up somewhere, at least we could try to take care of our county's waste when we get to that point so that our citizens are not struggling.
Pay all that.
But that's just a suggestion, something to think about.
I'll bring it up to the board and we can go forward on that.
Yes, sir.
Any more questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bailey.
Mr. Bailey.
Just a couple brief updates on our active projects. The two fire stations, the Old Town Fire Station, we had a pre-application meeting with the water management district yesterday to verify that, how that submittal will go, and it will be a 10-2 certification, so that won't be as strenuous as a regular ERP submittal. There is one thing with that property being pretty significantly or pretty much covered with the flood zone. We'll have to make that pond a little bit larger just to compensate for the fill from the building and the parking lot itself. But that's the only thing there, not anything significant. We do have a meeting scheduled with Chief Brown and his staff for July 12th just to go over both of those projects, where we stand with that. The Restore Act applications, which was the oil spill money, getting ready to make our first submittal on the first project, which was the Horseshoe Beach Working Waterfront. That is going to be submitted by the 1st of August, would be the deadline. We attended the board meeting last week down in South Florida and got some good information from that. So we feel good about making some progress on those applications with that new information we got. Moving down to the library roof, we are finalizing those HVAC details. Got some information from our sub-consultant on that. We're going to get some final details within the next week and hopefully get a bid package prepared by the next meeting for Dwayne and his staff to review. The only thing on that is, Dwayne, I'll need to get with you as far as how, if y'all have been able to contact Subway and the flower shop, and if you want to include that in the bid package or not include that. That should be everything we need there to get that project out to bid. The CDBG project, 95th and 97th, we're wrapping up the environmental review. We were unable to do any design work on that project until the environmental review was cleared. Working with Dwayne and his staff to get some final information needed for that. Get that submitted, and once it's approved, we'll start working on design and get that one rolling. The 82nd Avenue, Halchard Road, we are progressing towards 60% plans. So nothing out of the ordinary there, just working towards 60% plans. The last thing, 340, paving and striping is complete. The contractor just started working on final grading of the shoulder and the ditches. Going to be doing final seed and sod, and we anticipate being complete with that project within the next 30 days.
You got to move the guardrails back.
Working on the guardrail. That's all getting started here now.
So is that going to be able to pave when you do redo the guardrail, bring that pavement there on over the concrete?
Yes, there should be some miscellaneous asphalt being put where the guardrail is and filling in those areas.
I know those shoulders are pretty steep as far as, I mean, putting the sod down there. You reckon that's going to hold it to keep it from the time we get a rain, it's like it's cutting it?
It should. If it's too steep, they'll have to staple sod it, but it should be adequate to hold the sod. But
I know the last couple of rains we've got, it's cut it out pretty bad, pretty quick. So
yeah, they'll have to maintain it for a while until it starts taking
root.
And then taking root, and then it should hold well, but they'll definitely have to, there'll be a certain maintenance period where they've got to keep it from washing out.
Okay.
Right.
I think it was announced last meeting that the contract has been awarded for Willow Hole, and I'm just curious as to what is the time frame now involved?
That's on the stropping.
Yeah.
On stropping.
So I can answer that, Mr. Chairman. So y'all did award it to Anderson Columbia. Now we got to get the actual contract with them. And as soon as the contract, then it'll be on the contractor to start. They just have a time frame, 180 days or 260 days. And any time in that, we don't regulate when they actually start the project. We just try to start within 2 to 3 months of signing the executed contract. We have seen them prolong it out depending on where they are in the county or on other projects.
Kevin, out there at the fire station, you said the retention ponds are going to have to be bigger. There's plenty of property and all there for that. I would think so, but
I said Old Town Station,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
Old
Town. But you feel like there's plenty of property there?
Yeah, there's plenty of property, and soil's seem pretty good so far. We haven't seen any. The pond's not going to be anything big. It's going to be slightly larger to compensate. You basically get two options. We can use that pond, so it's kind of, you only got that one area for retention, or you can have an actual, just a compensated basin, separate location, but it'd be better to have it all allotted to one area rather than have two areas, so but that pond not going to be anything large.
Fencing around the pond, if it holds water, do y'all, is that in y'all's plan?
Yes, sir. So we've met with Chief Brown. Pretty much the whole site's going to be fenced, other than the main parking lot up front. But yeah, the retention pond will be behind the fence.
Okay. That was it.
That's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you for everything y'all do.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Mr. Lochner.
Chair.
Good morning. Good morning.
I'll be brief. Just a couple of quick updates for you. 14th, 82nd Ave, the component that's getting construction, Anderson Columbia was awarded that contract. I've been told by Anderson that that work is going to start on Monday. We'll be out there. County Road 351 South design. We've completed the pavement cores, working with Dwayne and the staff, and going out and making sure we're all on the same page with everything, looking at some issues with erosion and some driveways. We've got 60% plans completed, ready to submit to DOT for review, and then we'll get feedback and bring those up to completion. We've got three projects going on with sort of under the Stormwater Task Force. One is involving some improvements at the airport, prison. We just had a pre-application meeting yesterday with the Water Management District. Went well. We're going to be doing it under a general permit, which makes it a little bit quicker and easier. I don't really see the district didn't really have any major concerns or red flags with what we were proposing, which is adding culverts, two 48-inch culverts at four pinch points, basically, above and below the property at the airport. So hopefully getting that permit here in the next few months would be my guess. We just started two other projects assigned by the board through the task force recommendation. One was, again, some drainage improvements on
Highway 358, Old 19, and also on the Old Town Canal, the Upholstery Canal project. So we've already started. Some of our folks have been out collecting survey data, which is the first step for us at both of those sites earlier this month, June. So now we'll be able to start some design and modeling of that. So. And that's all I have, unless you have questions for me, I'm happy to.
I've got one. It's on 351,
yes,
right there past the red store.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, we've talked about the drainage. Elaine, is all that drainage stuff and all that? People literally throwing boats off trailers right there. Is all that?
Yeah, so there's three cross drains. That was the corrugated metal that will be replaced with concrete. Mm-hmm. And then there's an addition that we're going to add coming out of that Cypress Pond to get into the main canal as well. And it would take all that water in the curve from where you're caught, where you're talking about at the Little Red Store,
mm-hmm.
where it puddles in the road and then also dips over into that. We can drain it all into that canal system.
Okay. Sure. I just didn't want to leave that out.
Mm-hmm. And when they present those first round of plans, I'll verify that it's there.
Yeah.
We've had two field visits on it. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for everything y'all do. Miss Balazs.
I have something.
You got something? Okay.
Gets,
okay. Mr. Freeman. And thank you, Mr. Freeman.
Mr. Freeman.
Go ahead.
Thank you for what you done yesterday. And not only did he go down there and see four of them that was unpermitted, he found some more down there by the film. And I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chauncey's not here. Mr. Johnson's not here.
I want to wait a second right there on the number 15.
Okay.
Comment on that right there. I don't know if y'all's phone's been ringing very
much. Yes. Yes,
mine's been ringing pretty good. And I do want to commend Dwayne and his staff.
Yeah.
For the spraying they've been doing through the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing a really good job, and hopefully, I think yesterday I talked to him, and he should have about made a whole loop through the county. I think you've talked to him some on that.
Last night,
they got out there.
Through the midnight last night, got their first round done in about 7 days. But they'll start back tonight and hit everybody.
Getting the second round. So
yesterday we had 40 call-ins, so 40 properties was reported to the number. Leave your name and address.
Yeah.
1903.
And on that right there, that is a something I can't stress enough. We talked about it up here. The board can't stress enough. Dwayne can't. We've got to have them voice recordings. And I do know that we've had to empty it a few times, but that is something that we've got to get the citizens to do, and verbal permission on their property and complaints go a long way for the grant also. So, but go back to him, just thank him and his staff for what he's doing. They've been working.
They was out late. Two nights,
you
got real late,
because
I've seen them out.
Out late last night, out there in the hammock, too.
How often is
the
problem
call? Every day. I mean, you can call every day. If you got a problem, call, literally.
We got a problem.
We'll call.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They are huge.
Yeah.
But let me say this, too, now. Before the rain come, we had no problem. And I'm going to quote him on some of the stuff that I talked to him yesterday, because I asked him could he be here. But that stuff per gallon has went from $45 to $50 to almost $95. So it can per gallon. And I forget how many gallons they spray out per truck. It's all on the map. It's all there. And I'm actually working with him, trying to get him tied in with Scott and Dwayne. Dwayne don't know this yet, but as I speak. That I would love to see some of these maps that they drive. It shows the speed, how fast they're going, how much stuff the sprayer adds more, takes away from it. It's all computerized. So if they drive,
it's regulated by the RPMs.
Yeah. So if they drive by your house and you say, "Hey, come on, blah blah blah," it's actually, we can go back and say, "Hey, you went by Miss Mary's house at this time. This is what you were spraying per unit." It's got it all detailed, and I want that information on some sort of mosquito control website that each individual can go there and log on to it and look at this information and see where they sprayed, when they sprayed last time, what their next schedule is or whatever. But we need to get some information out there and educate the people that has an issue. And to be honest, before the rain, we had no reason to spray. There was no mosquitoes.
No.
After the rain, the mosquitoes come.
Overnight.
Mosquito egg lays dormant for 7 years, and then all you do is add water. And that's what happens. So I commend them for what they're doing, but I would like some sort of education on that.
Is there any toxicity to those that fog?
Say that again?
Is there any toxicity?
Yes, I understand. They're just at a minimum. Yeah, the labels. It's all regulated by the EPA. Yes, they are. If it's all in the labeling itself, I don't have an example to show you. I mean, I can get you a percentage based off of what we spray. But
how long before it settles and, you know, that you can enter an area that's been sprayed?
Yes, it's recommended to stay away from them when they come by and spray at least 30 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. What it does, it actually puts the mosquitoes in a frenzy as well before they die. So there's an increase in activity after a truck comes in and sprays. So we get that deception a lot of times. They'll call and say, mosquito truck just come through here, and the mosquitoes are still here like crazy. Well, that's what they're doing. You know, they're going through that frenzy, that insecticide, and then dying. So, that's right.
And as Commissioner Hodge, you know, is there any way to find out when y'all might be coming into the neighborhood in case somebody's outside, kids otherwise?
I would have to get with the director.
Generally, if you outside, you'll hear him coming. He's just making noise when he's headed that way.
They don't have a set schedule. It goes by that call-in. If they get 10 call-ins in this area, it's okay. Tonight, we're going to Swanee. Because today we had 7 or 8 calls from residents. And then they have to do a landing count. And, you know, it's all regular. We report that to the state. We do monthly reports to the state. But we can get you all that information. I just don't have it readily available.
Could we get your name so we can get you that information?
John Poole.
Thank you.
But that's exactly why I would like to have some sort of information out there for mosquito control.
Yeah.
It's a much-needed program, but we need to educate ourselves on that program also.
Amen.
I want to add something to that mosquito thing. The guys are really doing a good job, but I wish we could have got there quickly. It falls on me personally and some of this board. I wasn't aware. We're a little bit short on starting when these eggs went hatching because we didn't have our license at that time to be able to start spray. And I'm going to try to do my due diligence to make sure that doesn't get lapsed again because we were several days behind schedule due to we was not prepared. That's it. But the guys are doing a really good job.
Amen.
Anything else? Mm-hmm. Mr. Johnson's not here. Mr. Leon. Thank you, Mr. Leon. Mr. Brown.
Chairman, I told the county manager I didn't want to give a conversation. There's two things. One, we received word last week while I was on vacation from the State Fire Marshal's office that we were officially approved for one of the two things that we requested, which is appropriation for $650,000. Unfortunately, the price of the truck from the time we began this project until now has went up $110,000. I am looking at all of the apparatus. Hopefully, we can find something more in the price range we want. But either way, we still have the funding if we can take away from some of the equipment. Also, yesterday, unless something went wrong, we submitted the HMGP grant request. The county manager and I and Mr. Garner spoke about it. I told y'all about it to replace our Station 3 up in the 1st District and make that a hardened hurricane-proof facility. We have $1.7 million that's been awarded to the county to use as we deem necessary. And after our conversations, that's what we come up with. And I think that... and then we talked with them, they think that they can do this project very, very easily for that amount. It will not replace the bays, it will only replace the living area and make it a hardened structure and the old fire station with water generator, so on and so forth. We also have another HMGP award money that's given to us that we're applying for or talking about applying for. We're looking into it right now to replace our generator at Station 2 in Old Town.
that station routinely goes without power. We have two generators down there. Both of them were used over apparatus. We have got some cell towers, so on and so forth. Both of them have since broke. One of them is sitting down there now, not functioning. That's about a $75,000 to $100,000 project in itself. I think we have about $100,000 there, so we should have ample money to do that. But if all goes well, we will also be applying there. We spoke to FEMA and the state representatives yesterday on a conference call. Looks like both projects are very doable, very much approved, and able to be approved, I should say. And we're just waiting on that final official approval from the state and the Fed saying we can do it, and the money is sitting there for us to use. So we'll keep you updated as we get answers on those, but right now that's where those projects are. Any questions with me, I think I'll really do it.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Scott. Thank you, Mr. Scott. Miss Gail, she's not here. Miss Holly's not here. Miss Angie.
She's absent.
Sad. Mr. Cannon.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. If you'll turn attention to the county manager report, I have a few items today for action and a few information as well. Start out with action item number one, I need board approval to execute DOT construction and maintenance agreement for the County Road 357 bridge replacement over Sherd Creek and California Swamp Creek. Bridge numbers, the structure numbers that we have in the county is 30-0043 and 30-0044.
We've got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Number two on the report, I need board approval to execute the resolution 2023-57 in support of that construction and maintenance agreement.
Most.
The motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye. Number three, I need board approval to execute the DOT agreement for the traffic signal maintenance for the fiscal year 2024 in the amount of $17,618. And what this does, it allows us a little bit of reimbursement on our, we have to fix all of our red lights and caution lights throughout the county that we maintain.
Motion. We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Dwayne, on that, does that cover the ones that's in the city? I mean,
no, they have one. So the municipality of Cross City
have is
so
Old Town and
so actual red lights, the ones that we have.
Caution lights, got three on 349.
Yeah.
Got that
it
blinking light at the end of
the
20 road.
Okay. That's all I was asking. If differentiated from the
caution lights, the stop signs that have flashing beacons at 353 and 351. Flashing beacon at the Gina Highway and US 19. So it covers a multitude of numbers, about 11 or 12.
Okay.
That's what it's for. Number four, I need board approval to execute the ship rehab reimbursement for Terry Harris in the amount of $9,325.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye. Number five is board approval to execute a ship release of lien for a James Neesmith in the amount of $20,000.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson, second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Number six, I need board approval to execute the work order 23-16 for Pastor and Associates for runway 422, some drainage improvements at the Cross City Airport in the amount of $100,000.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Osteen, second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Number seven, this is a project we've been working on out at Rollison Road. I need board approval to clear up the deed at the Northeast 264th Street, Rollison Road, to ensure that we have ownership of the airport canal and Northeast 264th Street, the road right-of-way, and future access to the canal system across the property. We've been in negotiation, myself and the attorney, back and forth with the property owner, and they're agreeable to deed over the ownership with the board agreeing to fence the rest of the property on the south side of the airport canal to match what's in that area, which is our airport property of the chain link fence, across the road, Mr. Dwight Knight's property, chain link fence, and then his fence of the chain link. And we pay for the survey for that and get it all cleaned up. The issue there is we've never had conveyance of that property. We've never been able to legally clean out the airport canal there without their permission. By doing this, it'll get it cleaned up. It'll be ownership of the board. And you'll have that right as a county moving forward to be on that
motion.
Person.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Number eight, I need board approval for the Dixie County Library budget amendment. It's an increased request in the amount of $84,077 This is due to the state aid grant, state aid to libraries grant agreement received from the state of the $125,675.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson, second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
Aye. And then that's all for action items, and then I have an information item that was presented to me. I want the board to review this deed of conveyance for the old property landfill. I guess it's been a month and a half now, over a month and a half, y'all approved for the White Knight to purchase the property. Chain had reached out to his lawyer. The lawyer has rebuttal, but presented it. I think Chain has some recommendations on it, but it is for y'all's review. It's in y'all's packet to look at the verbiage. That's what's being asked of.
What I would like y'all to start off with, this was not prepared by me. Okay, the initial deed that I did prepare, this is very similar, but the attorney has sent it back with changes made to what I prepared. You'll notice at the top it does say prepared by Chana. Chana did prepare the majority of it. There are some changes. The changes is down in the bold section where it says this property was purchased with full knowledge by the grantee that is accepting all liability attached to the property, which is created solely by the grantee's actions after the date of this deed and not for existing conditions. It goes on in that same verbiage. Basically, what they're wanting us to do is give them like a warranty deed saying that any problems prior to them taking ownership, we're going to be responsible for. That is not what we sold this as. We sold it as an as-is with them accepting all liability going forth. We were doing a deed of conveyance. The language here doesn't say warranty deed, but you're basically giving them a warranty. I would recommend taking no action on this at this time until I can get back with this attorney on the other side and see if I can clear this up, because this was not presented to me. It was given to Mr. Dwayne this morning to bring to y'all. This attorney has not reached out to me, and
I was informed that the attorney would be sending it to you electronically with all the corrections on it, but it was just asked that y'all have it for review.
One other thing, and I think Dwayne kind of hit on it. This was payable, I think, in 45 days. Okay, we're probably at day 60, I think, Mr. Gainey figured out, and we've seen no money. Again, the deed is prepared. They may have an issue with it, but by the terms of our agreement, at this point, the board could take action, decide to move forward to a different bidder, to rebid or anything else due to the fact that there's been non-performance by the bidder who won the bid. Just some legal advice.
The other information item that I have, Mr. Chairman, unless you've got a question on that to review it.
We're just going to review this and come back once you do.
Yes, I would definitely recommend that we take a no action on this at this point so that I can get out with the other attorney and at least address the issues of the fact that unless this board tells me different, that y'all are not wanting to warranty this property.
I think that was one of the stipulations that when we went forth, the buyer was going to assume all liability, and that it is cleared at this point through everything that has been tested and done, and we're handing over with a clean slate, but we weren't going to be responsible from,
and
because we can't control, once you sell a piece of property, you can't control what's put on or not put on the piece, but if we can get to let the lawyers hash that out, y'all can clarify it or however. But move forward.
So you make a motion that we...
I'm just making a motion to let them handle it. At this point, they bring it back. We're not going to do anything with it today. We ain't got to make a motion or nothing.
Okay.
Let her handle it.
Okay.
To this point, then they bring it back to us.
Right. I'll work on that and see if we can get that hashed out.
Mr. Chairman, the only other action I don't have, I didn't put it down, but when it reminded me, solid waste is going to work a few guys tomorrow as well. Waste Pro is running the day behind before the holiday. And we should have all our sites cleaned up from the holiday. They're hauling load number 7 this morning. So we should get 8 or 9 loads this week. Typically, you know, we run 7 to 9. So we didn't see an increase in garbage at this point, but we
full capacity as y'all will move. So we will have people out tomorrow as well.
While we on garbage, how are we on the contract on getting, has it been signed, or what we got on the removal of the metal from the site?
Scrap metal, I reached out to Mr. WC, I guess it was early last week. He had just got out of the hospital. He's, from my understanding, was bedridden for a couple weeks. I haven't followed back up because we was out of town. We have a meeting Monday afternoon at my office to hash out the do-tos and do-froms, the terms of the agreement, 4 o'clock with Tim Johnson and Chena in my office. So we're moving forward with it. It's just been the way everything's fallen. We
ain't had time to get the contract made.
Does that answer your question?
Pretty much. I mean, it was stated that they was going to be cleaned up 2 weeks. It's been 2 weeks. Ain't their feet been moving.
He said once he got started.
That's from the time he signed the contract.
Yep, once the time he signed the contract. We ain't made the contract yet.
We'll work on it Monday. And in the meanwhile, in that, I'm working on budget as well. We'll have some more discussion on that one, finance, in just a little bit. But, Mr. Chairman, that's all that I have to report this time.
Ms. Watson?
I do not have anything going forward. I've been working with Mr. Duane on all of this. We will get the contract out as soon as we can get the terms agreed to, and that shouldn't take us that long. I did see something that, and I don't know that we need it all the time, but I do want to mention it to see, and I hadn't even had a chance to talk to Duane about this. We run into just a little hiccup while we were all kind of in this training, but I think a DocuSign program might be of assistance to if it's a type program or something. But I think Chief Mike could use that in his office sometimes on some of the contract negotiations that he has to do when there's a need for a quick turnaround. So someone just mentioned that for everybody to think about. We'll possibly listen to whether or not Dwayne thinks it could be
beneficial. I'm glad you brought that up, because that was one of my things, was the DocuSign. Not the only thing I had, so I'll shut up when it comes to my time. But I would really like to see us move toward that. I think at the end of the day, I know I do a lot in my business, and it works, it helps, saves a lot of time. That's the same thing the Meridian man was talking about. Same kind of process, so I'd really like to see us move toward that.
Miss Hickenbottom.
Company profile that scanned our records. There was this little 8x10 piece of paper that was going around by the clerk, city clerk, of how the counties break out over the years. Where Profile took that little 8x10 and they enlarged it. And all the companies that used them, all the post offices that used them, they had this picture blown up and framed and sent to us. So I just wanted to show it to you. It's pretty cool how it broke out over the years.
Yeah.
How the different jurisdictions.
Yeah. You're going one way, keep going the other.
I take them. Chuck.
But it turned out very nice.
That's pretty cool.
Yes.
And I think Ms. Brenda needs you after
that. Yep,
Ms.
Brenda.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Board. As all of you know, our day one for Sunday started July 1st, and here we are again at budget time. We did get our information from Mr. Robbie Lee, and you all should have a little packet that we kind of have just going around just to give y'all some numbers. Of course, we do have to vote on our first month. Turner suggested millage rate from 2 weeks. It'll be our MAP meeting. I think Mr. Bonner will take care of that. The Wayne will be on vacation.
That's correct.
We do kind of recommend, as the finance team and budget committee, that we go ahead and start out at the top, just because we really don't know where our state revenue sharing is going to do. We don't really know how the revenues are going to come in. It's still really early, but we don't ever want to be in the position that we don't have enough money. We can always go down, but we cannot go back up once we adopt the first child. But we can go down in September, and that's what we hope to do. We're hoping to maybe stay around where we were last time, which is about the 9.8 mils for general, you know, so on and so forth for EMS and Parks and Library. But we just really want to give this to you guys so y'all can kind of throw it around. If y'all have any questions, y'all can reach out to us, call finance, stop by. We know that Mr. Daniel and Mr. David, this will be your first go around with us as a finance team and budget committee. So you, other three, have had us for a little while now. But we just really want to make sure that you have all the information that you need so that you can make the best decision for our county. That's really what it's all about. But we don't want to put ourselves in a bind either by accepting something lower. And, you know, we can always go down, but we can't ever raise it back up once we adopt it the first time. So if you guys have any questions, I'd be more than happy to try to answer. The rollback rate, just kind of first run, will bring in just a little bit more than what we adopted last time, but that's not going to cover, really, there's just no way that we can go to the rollback rate and be able to survive as a county. We would love that, but that doesn't cover, anything. We are hoping that insurance is going to stay about where it's at, so we are, you know, that was a good thing on health insurance, not as far as all the other insurances that are going to be increasing. So we just want to keep all that in mind. But please, if you guys have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. Stop by finance. We want y'all to be a part of this too and understand, you know, what's going on with our county. But that's all I have for you guys today.
I got a couple on this. Going, you got pretty decent news on insurance.
Yeah.
Today, so that was really good. So that's
health insurance on the health.
Yeah.
Hopefully that'll play in our favor right there. But I said it before, and I'll say it again. This HSA versus the card, what's it called?
FSA.
FSA.
Flex spending account versus...
I really
help save.
It's time for us to go in that direction, and I think it's time. So that is, if they don't use it, it comes back to the county. They can't use it for nothing but medical expense,
mm-hmm.
And I think it's time for us to look at that real hard this time in our budget year and don't budget for the other one myself. So that's my recommendation. I ain't doing an emotion or nothing like that, but.
Sure.
I think it's time for us to look at that pretty hard.
Yep. So to answer that, Mr. Chairman, that's exactly what we'll plan on doing at this time. But the way that works is it's by calendar year. So January, or right before January, Christmas time, December, we would vote on changing from HSA to FSA. But for this year's budget, irregardless from the change, I'll still have to budget the $1,000 per employee. And then the next year is when we see the savings. So I'll plan it. So either way, this year I'll plan it for that amount in there, and we'll see the savings. Next year, this time, we'll know what we save. So, and that was what I've been recommending now for probably about 5 years. I think that's a great step in the right direction to offer this benefit to the employees, but also be able to manage it for what y'all's desire is to use it for. I think it's a benefit for everyone to go that route. Yes, sir.
When you get that finalized, we're trying to mirror what you're
sure.
doing.
Sure, absolutely. I'll get with you. Yep. Yes, sir.
Yes, he will.
Do you have a question?
It's a governing body of property prison tax collectors.
Okay.
Do I have anything else?
Anything else?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Ms. Brenda.
Commissioner Adams. Mr. Wood?
I hope everybody had a good 4th. I think we had a good turnout everywhere. Mr. Stevenson, did a good job.
Yes,
very good
did.
On yours. Appreciate that. And appreciate our Skeeter guys. They've been rolling hard this weekend.
Yeah.
Been hammered. So that's all I got.
Ditto.
There you go.
I've said enough.
Mr. Osteen?
I want to thank the Sheriff's Office for keeping everybody safe on our highways down there going to Gina and Stain Hatching. Mr. Gibbs, so thank you, Steve. Everyone's done a great job. They got it mowed for the people coming down there, and I really appreciate everything that they saw. Thank y'all.
Stephen. I just want to thank all the county employees for doing what they do, especially holiday weekends, having to step up the plate where they normally don't have to. And I apologize again for my tardiness on getting meeting to today. I'm a little bit slow because I had one of those mortars hit me in the chest at the fireworks,
yeah.
And I ain't moving too swift.
I seen that. I was that close to you. I seen that.
Ooh.
God.
You got bucked by an airboat and now by a firework.
But I want to say we had a good meeting so far. I'm saying so far because it's fixed to be y'all's turn to speak. So, but Mr. Stevenson, that was a wonderful, and I just wanted to tell you that I appreciate you doing that for the county, and because we had everywhere I went was wonderful, but being up, having experience and being a little bit closer, about 300-400 feet away from you and watching you work back and forth like an ant, that was. I tell you, I appreciate that.
We enjoyed doing it. Started out, about 18, 19 years ago, just a little bit of stuff, and watching those children's faces light up.
Yep.
Normally can't go to Space One, or Stain Hatching, or somewhere, to be able to come and watch that. It put something on my heart, and I've been continuing with it.
Yep.
And I appreciate it.
Yes. All right, now it's y'all's turn. I got Miss Mary gets to come up and speak to us first.
Wait a minute, I was the last one to put paperwork.
Well, you the only paperwork that I got. You the only one I got up here, so you get to speak first.
Well, anyhow, my name is Mary. I just wanted an update on what you're doing with the payments and the ditches, but I got some of this in your pocket.
Yep.
Okay, the other thing I wanted to know is there any way you can blow out the culverts?
What you do is Mr. Duane, that address?
400 Northeast.
550. I got it right here, Mr. Duane, on this card right here.
And then the other thing is, anything you can do about the speeders flying down that road at 65 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour.
They are bad.
Sheriff's Department.
Call the Sheriff's Department.
They'll send someone out of the morning.
It would be nice. Because I'll tell you, I was on the road, coming off the dirt road, on a horseback, coming up the side of the road. Some lady come down in a Cadillac SUV, lying, I had to jump into the ditch.
Mm.
If she would have hit me and the horse, she probably would have killed me, killed the horse, totaled the vehicle, and possibly hurt herself.
Yeah. And there is signs.
Yes, there is.
All up and down there.
I went out and bought two in the second, right in front of my house.
Yep.
Okay. And there's one up at the curb.
Yep.
And then there's one down at the end of the road.
That is, yes, sir. Yes. All right.
That's about it.
All right.
And then I'll show you something weird.
You had the horse and that's a paved road there, isn't it?
I was on the pavement with the horse in the ditch.
Headed towards my house, but I was on the side of the road. Okay, in the dirt, because the she's coming down. Nothing in the opposite lane. Never even swung into the opposite lane. Just came down. Instead of having the horse spook as she was coming by, God only knows if he spooked, he would have just jumped on my car for all I knew. I jumped down into the ditch with the horse.
Thank you, Miss Goodrich.
It was a woman guy.
All right. Anybody else like to speak? All right. Come up here to the podium. You speak to state your name.
John Poole and young people that are jacking up the front of their trucks and kicking back, they don't think they know that their headlights are putting the full beam into our eyes, older people, blinding the daylights out of us and potentially getting somebody killed. So could there be some kind of like public safety type of you know, teach, and because it used to be that headlights adjusted based on vehicle, but no longer, they're fixed. And I don't think young people understand that when they do that, they're blinding people. So I don't know
We'll have to get with Sheriff on that.
Okay.
Following the state statutes.
Is that it?
Yes.
Hey, just a quick, my name's Karen Van Arnum with Cross City Restore and Renew. Just a quick update on what we're doing in the county manager's office. We have not left y'all behind. I didn't mean to stop by. So if you've noticed, I call it Dwayne's office, but the county manager office here at the end, we were able to get it painted. The inmate workroom, Mr. David, did an excellent job. It's so pretty, and it's Martha coaching them on, and I appreciate that. So, and for that really nice, comments have been supposed to have been dropped off for the last couple of weeks, last Thursday, and even on Tuesday, he was going to drop it off, Mr. Michael at Quick Shop, but I feel certain he's going to bring it today. So hopefully we'll get signage up first of next week, I guess, because I think Mr. David's crew doesn't work on Fridays, maybe. I'm not sure. Anyway, we'll get signage up soon. And also the plants. I'm just here to say we're doing it. We haven't forgotten you. It's going to be completed, I hope, by next week. The fourth did kind of throw us everybody's plans off. So it's coming. And then after that, we'll look at some other probably smaller projects to finish out the year, and then Turkey Trot's coming soon, Thanksgiving Day. It'll be here before we know it. Thank you very much, and thank y'all for all this work. This is incredible. Every time I come and listen, and all the agencies and all the people, it's incredible. Everybody, the ladies, the men, y'all do an incredible job. I'm always greatly impressed when I'm here, so thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Motion to adjourn.
We got a motion to adjourn. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor.
I'll take that to the office. I'll try.
It was a good meeting. Very good meeting. We got everybody's names finally.
Hey. That's what he says.
I